Hey, this is Cam. Thanks for listening to Awakening Church's message of the week.
If you look over in the kitchen area, leaning up against the wall, you'll see my latest Facebook Marketplace pickup. How many of you saw that hanging in your grandparents' house? Or somebody's? I did. Your house? We wanted one so bad, so I found it on Facebook Marketplace. Went to Indiana to get it. So super excited. And this one right here in the middle is a remake of an actual Rembrandt. And I'm going to say it's a remake, although my grandfather got it. And none of y'all know my grandfather, but he was a real interesting dude. And so I could probably make up a pretty legitimate story about that being an actual Rembrandt. But probably could, couldn't I, Mom? He was such a cool dude and would just get the most random things. But anyway, that hung in my grandmother's house for years and years and years. And I just thought I would tell you about that since I told you about that. Doesn't have anything to do with what I want to talk about. But anyway, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. I hope everybody's having a good week so far. It's been a week, to quote Daniel Chaney, actually. He said that a while ago, and that's true. There is a lot going on in our nation. There's a lot going on in our just in our culture. And one of the things that I feel a responsibility to do as a prophetic people is to combat what we see in the culture and in this generation with truth. And so I'm going to talk to you about something that I had absolutely no thought about talking about, but I really feel like the Lord wants to talk to us a little bit about joy and just some things tied around that. And so how many of you know what Romans 14:17 says? Don't look it up. Does anybody know what Romans 14:17 says? Okay, all right, y'all need to take notes. Romans 14:17, this is an easy one to memorize. The kingdom is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I tell you that because joy is a third of the kingdom, according to that scripture. Righteousness, peace, and joy. And I want to be honest. I feel a responsibility to teach a little bit tonight and to just do some training, if for nobody else but for me, okay? And so I feel a responsibility to train a little bit. And so I'm going to ask some good questions and hopefully we can come up with a few answers. But I can tell you that I have lived a lot of my Christian life not understanding that third of the kingdom, joy. Can anybody connect with that at all? Yeah, I can. Seriously, there have been some tremendous ups, but there's been some really, really, really low downs. And it doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom of God. Obviously, it has something to do with me and internal, right? But the reason that I want to say this is one of the things that I have taught at Awakening since our inception is this idea that if it is a third of the kingdom, that kingdom values and kingdom virtues operate and are successful in every realm that we're in, and every environment and every climate. And I say it that way because I want to say this, and this may mess with some of you, but this is true, and I've lived this as well. Christian values are not the same in every realm and in every climate. And they don't work the same way. If you attempt to run a Fortune 500 business the way that some churches run their business, it would be bankrupt within a week. I'm just giving you an example, right? There's no stones there, right? I'm just giving you an example. If you were to run other businesses the way that sometimes we want to lean on Christian values, it wouldn't work. Because anybody that works in the business sector, you understand what I'm saying, right? It doesn't mean that you remove the idea of being good and wholesome. I'm just saying some of the things that we make Christian, and that opens another can of worms right there. Some of the stuff that we make Christian, I'm not sure Jesus would have called Christian. So some of the ways that we respond and some of the ways that we do certain things, I'm not so sure. But I can say with a surety that if you do what the kingdom says, it works in every sphere of society. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if there is a third of the kingdom that is joy, and we've got righteousness, peace, and joy, and here's the thing, I've lived some of my life not walking in good peace either. Do you know why? Most of the time, it was never the Lord's fault. Every time I wasn't walking in peace, it's because I wouldn't give up my right to understand. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That he gives us a peace that goes beyond our understanding. And if I want peace that passes understanding, then I have to be willing to give up my right to understand. That's a good word right there. And so there are so many things that have happened in my life. The righteousness thing as well, let's talk about that. I've lived a lot of my life not being as righteous as I should be, right? Here's what I want to tell you. Jesus came to fulfill every bit of that, right? My righteousness is what? Filthy rags. See, we can all quote that one. Do you know why we can all quote that one? Because we've been hammered over the head with it. I'm serious. What if we actually raised a generation that was hammered over the head with peace and joy? Can we hear that tonight? I've beat myself up over and over and over again because I wasn't righteous enough. And guess what? I'm never going to be righteous enough. I'm never going to be righteous enough. But I can continue to follow after him. But here's what I want you to hear. Jesus came and he fulfilled everything. My righteousness is filthy rags, right? But I've been made perfect in his righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, right? My joy is temporary, and sometimes I lay it down and sometimes I pick it up. He gives me his joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And sometimes I lay my peace down because I refuse to give up my right to understand. But he said, my peace I give to you. My peace I give this to you. I love this. If you read that in the Passion Translation, it's in John, between John 14 and 16 is when he's talking about that. And he says this, he says, I give you my peace, and my peace is not like the world's peace that is fragile. And so I tell you this so that we understand where we are right now, that if we're living in the kingdom and if we're actually functioning as kingdom people, we are going to be living on some level in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. One of the things that the enemy does, I'm going to give you a couple of things, and I'm not focusing on the enemy, but we have to be aware of his devices, right? And so right now, one of the things that the enemy is doing in our nation and nations around the world, okay, so we're not going to act like we're isolated, but in nations around the world, is deception is still running, right? Deception started in the garden with Eve. Deception is still running rampant. And the worst part about deception is this. You think, if you're in deception, you actually think that what you're being deceived by is true, right? Remember how we kind of calculate that? Eve, he doesn't want you to eat of the fruit because he knows if you eat it, you'll be just like him. Genesis 1 tells us she was made in the image of God. They made man and woman in their image, right? So she was already like him. So it was deception, the whole thing. But it's so necessary for us, and some of you will remember around 2019-ish, going into 2020, I started preaching really, really hard on discernment and being able to discern and to listen to what was going on. That was before I knew anything about what was getting ready to happen with AI, or before I knew anything that was getting ready to happen with COVID. And now, you know, even though Abraham Lincoln said that 87% of all statistics on the internet are made up, you know, and I believe him, you know, we don't actually know sometimes what we're reading and seeing, right? And it's not my intent tonight to go down that rabbit hole. What I'm saying is discernment is necessary in the body of Christ, and discernment is necessary to know when I'm walking out of step with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And if I walk into things that cause me to walk out of step with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, I have a responsibility to step out of that and get back in to alignment with what the Lord is doing in those moments, okay? And so deception is really, really important. Something that the Lord gave me, I'm going to have to do the math here because I've got one date and then I'm like 8 years from that date in my notes. But so counterfeit things will drain the life out of you trying to prove their legitimacy. I want you to listen to that. Counterfeit things will drain the life out of you trying to prove their legitimacy. And here's what happens. Religion actually promotes counterfeit things that are based in performance. Y'all don't know how bad I want to get up and walk around. Yeah. I just carry that with me, right? Guys, I want you to hear this tonight. Religion promotes counterfeit things that are always based in performance. What does that mean? If you're not feeling and walking in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, then evidently you're not cutting the mustard and you're not doing enough and you haven't prayed enough and you haven't fasted enough. And what I'm telling you is that is a counterfeit righteousness, peace, and joy if it's something that you can manufacture based on your behavior. I just told you a while ago that the only way that I have peace that passes understanding is when I give up the right to understand. Can you hear that? And so what happens is the enemy wants to bring this idea of deception and counterfeits. I mean, we see it in everything. We see it in relationships. We see it in business. We see it in all kinds of things that are happening in life where the enemy wants to throw this in here so that, you know, I've taught you guys forever that the enemy loves a vaccinated version of Christianity, right? What is that? A weakened version. You have just enough of the strain of Christianity to fight off the real thing, right? And so these counterfeit things happen. And one of the things that I was having a discussion with Cam the other day, and we were just talking through some things, and I began to tell him, one of the things that I believe has happened in the body of Christ, and I'm not throwing stones because I've been a leader in the body of Christ for a long time and probably have preached messages like this, and people have looked at this and thought, well, that's not really what I want. But one of the things that's happened in the body of Christ is we have preached a gospel that is half of what is actually available. And what I mean is we preach a gospel that says the blood of Jesus is enough to make my flesh just a little bit better than it is. And what I'm saying is that's a counterfeit to the real gospel, that the blood of Jesus is actually enough to eradicate that sin nature completely and move me into a place of original intent, which is communion in the garden, walking in the cool of the day with the Father before they needed fig leaves to try to cover themselves for something that they didn't even know was going on. Okay? And so counterfeits have been something that have been going on for a long time. One of the things that happens is the enemy wants to throw things at us to make us think that we have joy, but it's actually a counterfeit joy that causes our emotions to go up and down. What I wanted to teach on tonight was spiritual intelligence, emotional intelligence, and actually intelligence. That's really where I wanted to go. And I've taught some of that before. But what happens is the enemy brings these things into our view that we think bring us joy, and we'll grab a hold of it, and then something happens, the bottom drops out, and now because that thing that we thought was joy is gone, Now our joy is gone, and we're on this emotional roller coaster, and then we blame it on the Lord. Or what happens is we'll put ourselves on spiritual probation, because if we don't blame it on the Lord, we blame it on our ability to withhold it, or to hold on to it, rather. Does that make sense? And so this idea of counterfeit, the enemy has just been doing this forever. Here's the other thing you need to know. They don't make counterfeit pennies. They make counterfeit $100 bills. They make counterfeit $20 bills, $50 bills. Why? Because they're only going to counterfeit something that is actually worth having. Can you hear me tonight? I'm telling you that what the enemy has been doing for years and years and years is releasing this thought process of counterfeit righteousness, peace, and joy aside from the Holy Ghost. And Paul wrote to the Roman church and said, the only way you have it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so this idea of counterfeit has been something the enemy has been doing forever. And what has happened is it's caused a lot of people, including me, to live in a place of joyless Christianity for a whole lot of my life. Not now. But I will tell you that I still struggle with the up and down every once in a while, because I have to refocus my mind and my heart, and I have to move into maturity to realize that the joy of the Lord is my strength and not the joy of what he's bringing into my hand. Whether it's provision or a relationship or whatever, those things are counterfeit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Is that okay? And the reason the enemy does this is because joyless Christianity is really powerful. Do y'all know that? Y'all know that sometimes church people are the churchiest church people, is what I'll say. Joyless Christianity is an issue in the body. Here's why. Joyless Christianity causes me to misidentify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Joyless Christianity causes me to misidentify the Holy Spirit. I've never really been able to put this completely into words the way that I want to, but I developed internally a theology about God that I had to believe that everything bad that happened to me was the result of his goodness, because I was still here. And so I would place his goodness on everything bad that was happening. And do you know what that made me expect? Not his goodness. I expected more bad things to happen, and that I just had to swallow it and deal with it, because that's what I had tied his goodness to. And I'm telling you, it absolutely, this is what I'm talking about. It caused me to misidentify the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And what happens is the trickle-down effect is that I walk in misidentification. If I misidentify the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in my life, then the trickle-down effect is that I'm walking in a misidentification, okay? When joy is removed from relationship, I cannot see how Yahweh could ever see me as beloved. When joy is removed from relationship, I have no ability to see that Yahweh could actually look at me and call me beloved son. My ability to accept the love of the Father through the Son Jesus is connected to my joy being full. Okay. My identity is what Yahweh says about me. Okay. I'm going to uncover a tactic of the enemy right here. I've already done a couple, but I'm going to give you one right here. And I want you to listen to me, and I'll go slow so you can write this down. Okay. One, this is why, for all of you that wonder, why do they joke about me hating the word season and all this other stuff? This is one of the reasons right here. One of the greatest tools of the enemy is an overwhelming awareness of the temporary. One of the greatest tools of the enemy is an overwhelming awareness of the temporary. When I live in a constant state of believing that the joy, the righteousness and the peace is temporary because I have to be the one to sustain it. It keeps me bent over in shame and in a state of a continual sin cycle. The overwhelming awareness of the temporary. This is why I will beat the drum until I have no breath in my body, that we were meant to live from glory to glory, faith to faith, and strength to strength. Because I will not partner with the enemy to live in an overwhelming awareness of temporary. I want you to do this for me in just a moment. And I understand that tonight, and I haven't done this every week, so I'll probably hear about it in staff meeting, but I know I'm going a little bit longer. But I really feel like I need to get this out. Is this okay? Well, I got like two or three like this. Thank you. Listen, I know we ain't in pews, but give me an amen every once in a while. Jesus' name. Okay. I want you to think about this. I feel like the Lord gives me a gift to ask tough questions sometimes, okay? I really do. And so I'm going to ask you a tough question. I want you to think. I want you to really take a moment and think about the thing that causes you the most difficulty in your walk with God. What is it that you feel attacked in the most? Okay? Whatever it may be. What is it that you feel is keeping you from living in a continual place of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost? Or what is it that puts you on that roller coaster of the up and down? And maybe you're past it now, okay? Maybe you're past it now. But we all still deal with some things, okay? So I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. And here, let me give you some stipulations. Don't put a face to that thing, because it ain't nobody else. All right? It ain't nobody else. Yeah. Okay? I want you to take a minute. We're going to pause here just a minute. I want you to think about this. So just think about what is it that affects me the most in my walk with the Lord and keeps me on this up and down thing. Or potentially on the up and down thing. Maybe we're all over it now. Okay. So you, something probably came to your mind, okay? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think about how many times, whatever it is, that thing comes at you. Think about it. Think about the frequency of how often it happens. Do you know why? Because the enemy also knows. If relationships with people are your vice or your thing, guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to be after you, or drama's going to always surround you, or something's going to happen, right? If money is your issue or the lack thereof, then guess what? You're always going to be drained. Why? Because the enemy understands and wants to keep you in an overwhelming awareness of the temporary to remove the idea of walking in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And here's the only thing that I have, because listen, we're not perfect, we're human, right? But we're a little slow sometimes to pick up on that. We're a little slow to pick up on the fact that, you know what, if this keeps coming at me, it may be something I actually need to deal with and nail to the cross and let him take it out of my life so that I don't have to deal with it anymore. Does that make sense? Whatever it is, if the enemy knows that it's somebody looking at you crazy that just drives you nuts and you're going to lose your mind and you're going to want to cuss them out, or, you know, c- cuss them out in King James language. Y'all know how to do that, right? Like, may your crops wither. You know, do something like some King James stuff. But seriously, the enemy knows what it is. And he'll send counterfeits over and over and over again to keep you in this cycle so that you have an overwhelming awareness of the temporary. And I just wanted to tell you tonight that Jesus didn't die for you to temporarily get reprieve. He actually died so that you could stop allowing these counterfeits that are draining the life out of you to prove their legitimacy, to completely move them to the side and walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, which is righteousness, peace, and joy. And I'm telling you, it's available. And now I'm going to mess with you. Psalm 27. I love Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? And then a few verses down, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of his temple. But I want to go to verse 6. And I'm reading out of the New King James. I'm not reading out of Passion today. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. I want you to listen to this phrase. I want you to listen to it closely. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Sometimes joy is a sacrifice. Sometimes I don't feel like being joyful. I don't feel like being righteous. And I don't feel like being peaceful. However, from the place of living in the presence of God, because you can't remove the context, right? Jesus' name, we live in a nation right now that wants to remove context from everything. You can't remove the context of Scripture. Because I can't say I can offer a sacrifice of joy if I can't go back and say, one thing have I desired, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can't say that I can offer a sacrifice of joy if I can't really say that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? But I'm telling you that I know, and I want you to know today, that sometimes joy is a sacrifice. Sometimes it's all I can do. Anybody know what I'm talking about? To put a smile on my face. Sometimes it's all I can do. Because life is life, right? And if I let the enemy keep me in a constant, overwhelming awareness of the temporary, then I will expect that whatever trial I'm in right now is going to come around again and again and again. And the enemy knows that because it keeps me in these cycles. And what I'm saying is that joy is a sacrifice, and ambassadors of joy create cultures of gladness. Ambassadors of joy create cultures of gladness. So what's my responsibility? My responsibility is to lean in to the one who, the only one that has the ability to make me righteous. My responsibility is to lean into the one who said that he wanted to give me his peace, the one that wasn't fragile. My responsibility is to lean in to the one who has the ability to give me joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. And stop settling for counterfeits that are draining the life out of you trying to prove their legitimacy. Cam, you can go ahead and start playing. the worst year that you've ever had? The worst year. And I know some of you are like, you know, you're not doing a real good job of helping us to think about good things tonight. But the worst year that you've ever had. The worst years. You know, that's the beauty and the ugly part of keeping a journal. You know, I was reading some of this stuff today, and I'm like, man, that was good. I can't believe I wrote that. And then a few pages over, and I'm just whining. Just whining. Lord, I don't even know what to do. Help me. You know, people are crazy. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. You know what I'm saying? Maybe y'all don't know, but sometimes that's how I roll. But I was reading through this, and so sometimes the worst year turns into years, right? And it's difficult. I'm gonna give you a promise. I'm gonna give you a promise, and then we're gonna place a demand on this and just worship until joy comes. The worst year that you've ever experienced still has to bow its knee to Psalm 65:11. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. The worst year that I've ever had.
Thank you for listening to Awakening Church's Message of the Week. If you would like to partner and connect with us in transforming culture to mirror the kingdom through prayer, presence, and family, you have the opportunity to give. You can go to give@awakeningky.com. Like and subscribe, and let's transform culture to mirror the kingdom together. Have a blessed day.